Good morning, everybody. This is Tony from AARealTalkColumbus.com. Are you going to introduce yourself again in case they forgot about you?
Oh, yeah. This is Andrea. Andrea.
There's so much stuff to talk about. I'm sitting here thinking, like, what do I really want to share with you guys?
Share it
what
all.
I don't. Well, for those who don't know, DMX passed. For all the DMX fans, I know you guys are disappointed. I like DMX. You know, DMX was the man back in the day. The last thing I heard DMX was when he was on the Yana show on OWN. Mm-hmm. That didn't go too well.
That made me change my whole perception of him. It's still sad that he's passed away, and I wish he would have had an opportunity to kind of get his life together before he passed.
Because he was only 50, and that's the crazy thing. Because, you know, Michael Jackson, he died at 50. You know, a lot of these stars, you know, they make it to 50, and then that's just it.
Yeah. I think lifestyle sometimes catches up to them.
Yeah. So it's so unfortunate, you know. Our prayers go out to his family and his kids and things like that. But, you know,
that's difficult.
Yeah, difficult times for the family, DMX family. I'm going to watch some of his movies this weekend to give a shout out to him. I like Cradle to the Grave, though.
That was good. I mean, he was a good actor.
For him to be a rapper, he was pretty good. Yeah.
I don't think there was a movie that I did not enjoy with him being in.
Yeah. And you know that, the song that to me that he's known for. Now, he had, I think, I want to say either 7 or 8 albums, I believe. I didn't realize he had that many albums out. But the one song that always stand out to me when I think about DMX is what?
Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here.
Because when that song came out, I was going through.
I feel like I was about to go in on some couple people at work.
You know what I'm saying? So, this is kid friendly.
This is not kid friendly.
This is kid friendly.
Who told you those lies?
You know, it's only one person that curse on this podcast. You guys, I better not say that. Have I cursed?
I think like a couple times.
I may have said shh. I never said shh. Mother. Yeah, we ain't gonna go there.
You have no.
I don't use the MF word first off anyway though.
No, you don't use the MF. You just use the F.
The F bomb. I think that's kind of the standard, right? The F bomb. I ain't never said F on the air though.
No, I wouldn't even go that far on the air. Like I would have to. You know, the F bombs are for special occasions. Special occasion meaning like somebody really gets you there and you like really feel frustrated. That's when those F bombs pop up. But you don't just use it on the everyday occurrences.
So we're talking about secrets. What is a secret? You know, because some people say that, well, that's not a secret. That's just a little white lie, or that's not nothing really I consider a secret. So it really depends on the person you ask what's determined a secret or not, right? But the secrets we're talking about are serious, heavy, deep, dark secrets that you don't need to be keeping from your partner. Those are the secrets we're talking about. Okay?
Okay.
So let's get it straight. It's going to be pretty heavy and thick, people, and it's going to have you thinking. You're going to, after this podcast, you're going to be thinking about your mate and saying, I wonder, are they keeping something from me? Maybe you need to ask
the
question.
No, Lord. Don't go and go into overdrive thinking like everybody keeping a secret from you. But I do believe that, I know we're talking about big secrets, but I think little secrets can manifest into big ones.
Sure.
If you are a person who likes to keep secrets and you keep secrets for even the smallest mundane stuff,
right,
you're probably going to tell secrets for the big ones too.
I agree. Right.
So I think you have to be careful with all of it, especially for people who are close to you, the one who loves. And I'm thinking more so like significant others.
Yeah.
When it comes to secret giving or secret holding. But I mean, everybody else would be okay if you're holding a secret from them. As long as it doesn't impact them, you're not obligated to share everything with them.
I agree. You know,
now, if it's something that impacts them and you're holding a secret, that's different.
So I got a quick quiz for you. Okay. You ready?
Okay. I don't like
now. All this information is according to Psychology Today. Okay.
Okay.
Great resource. How many percentage of couples keep secrets from each other?
98.
That's a shame. You know, we ain't got no hope if it's 98. Thank God it's not that high. Prayerfully, we'll never get that high.
Well, I'm counting like 60%. Everybody keeps a secret from now and then.
60% of couples keep secrets from each other. And we're talking about, I know you say all secrets, but according to them, we're talking about the heavy stuff, right? The stuff that really matters, okay?
Okay.
So that number, over half, that's, I'm not really that surprised by that. No. Really? I'm just glad it's not higher, right? Aren't you glad it's not higher? I mean, you said 90%. I mean, you're scaring me now.
Like I said, I'm talking about all secrets. I know they're focusing on just big secrets. Yeah. I don't think you can really, to me, it's hard for you to determine, like, what everybody has a different opinion what's constituted as a big secret or what's acceptable. So somebody may say, I don't want any secrets. I don't care if big, small. I don't,
putting it all in the same bucket.
Yeah, I don't want any secrets. That's a problem for me.
Yeah.
And I get it. Yeah. And some people may justify their secret keeping by saying, well, it's not a huge secret.
Or it's not even a secret at all. It's just one of those things I don't classify as a secret. Yeah.
Yeah.
So generally speaking, some of the reasons why people keep secrets from each other. First one is disapproval, right? You know, because it's like, well, I don't want to tell my mate this because they're not going to approve of me.
Okay.
Okay. You get that?
I get that.
Another one would be losing faith in their partner. You know, you'd be like, well, if I tell her this or I tell him this, they're not going to have no faith in me no more. They're not going to believe what I say. They're not going to, when I say I'm going to do something, you know, they may second guess it. So those things are important. That's why it's so vital not to keep anything, whether it's big, small, medium, whatever. If it's something that your mate don't know, you need to tell them. Because what may be small to you may be big to them.
Absolutely. Right? I agree
so
with
that's
that.
Why when it comes to secrets, big, small, or indifferent, everything to me needs to be put out there in the open.
Yeah.
Because like you said earlier, it can start off as something small, but then it trickles to something bigger because you know what they say. If you tell one lie, you got to tell another lie to cover that one up, right? So you don't want to have that type of effect on it. So it's better just to come clean and come open. What do you think?
No, I agree. I can see why a person will keep a secret. It doesn't make it right. I'm not justifying it.
Yeah.
But I can understand it. But it's just like it's a slippery slope. Like you said, it can become very slippery. And it creates a deeper issue if you feel as if you have to keep secrets from your mate. Because there's really a lack of trust there.
Yeah. Right.
And I said, that's the issue. Especially if you are wanting to have a successful relationship, if you want to have a healthy relationship, it can't be built on lies and secrets.
No, it can't.
Because it's going to come out at some point.
Yeah.
And then it's really going to be a situation for the person who was kept in the dark, because why didn't you tell me after all this time? Mm-hmm. Like, you hear about stories where husbands lost their jobs. And they didn't tell their mate. So they're going about life like everything is still the same. Uh-huh. They're dressing, going, putting on clothes, get up in the morning like they're actually going to a job. And they're not, because they're afraid of what their mate is going to say, the disappointment and everything like that. But at the end of the day, you're still not bringing in any money. At some point, everything is going to come to a head.
Absolutely.
Stuff going to stop getting paid. Accounts are going to get messed up, and then you're going to be forced to come clean. If you trusted your partner enough just to share with them what was going on, then you guys could have came up with a game plan together to figure out what to do. And at the end of the day, I strongly feel like if a mate does not understand when somebody loses their job, if your mate doesn't understand that, especially if it's not something that happens all the time. I can see if it was something that you're constantly losing a job. But if you have been consistent on that front and they don't understand that, then that person is kind of sucky. I will say something else, but I'm trying to refrain from cursing.
Yeah, because we have things happen. We have young listeners.
We shouldn't, but...
let me ask you this question. So, and this kind of surprised me. Who keeps secrets more, men or women?
I already know. It's going to be women.
Am I surprised that women keep more secrets than men, according to Psychology Today?
I am surprised.
I'm not surprised at all.
I am. I think because y'all be some sneaky little jokers.
Nah, but see, I think women have more things going on, though, generally speaking, than men.
That's true.
You know, I think because we're more of a simplified version, you know, we don't have a whole lot going on. Men are very simple. You know, you give us sports, TV, a job, a little bit of money. A sandwich, we're good. And
but
some
you know
beer.
What? I'm about to go on a rant. I'm about to digress just for a second.
Okay.
Because the reason why y'all are so simple is because women do all the work.
Well, that's the reason why y'all keep more secrets, because y'all more complicated.
But it's not about complicated.
Anyway. Yeah. All right. But we're simple. So, you know, that's what it is. For real. We're just simple people. Mm-hmm. So now let's talk a little bit more about relationships and, of course, the secrets, right? Mm-hmm. Now, compared to same-sex relationships and heterosexual relationships, who do you think keep more secrets? Just take a guess. I didn't tell you this one.
No, you didn't. I would say heterosexual.
Nope. same-sex relationships really? Keep more secrets. My thing is this now. So, like we say, a secret, right? What is a secret? I mean, what would you classify as a secret, and what would you say is not a secret? So, I'm going to throw something at you.
So,
is it a secret? Oh. Hold on before you start. Is it a secret for you if you say, okay, if I say, babe, I want you to make me some pancakes with some grits. I want some scrambled eggs. And I want some like toast, right? Mm-hmm. A nice breakfast, a nice home cooked meal. Is it a secret if you say, okay, I'll make that, but everything is microwavable? And you serve it to me, and I'm thinking I got a home cooked meal, but all this stuff is boxed. All this stuff came from the microwave. Is that a secret, yes or no?
Did you specify you wanted a home cooked meal? Because if you just said, I want some pancakes and some grits and some eggs and some sausage, you didn't say how you wanted it made.
What's the expectation, though, right? The expectation is that your woman is going to cook you a home-cooked meal. Shouldn't that be the expectation?
That's not the expectation. Well? The expectation is you're going to have some pancakes, some eggs, and some sausage.
Every man don't like boxed food. But I'm one of them who don't.
That's why I ask.
So your thing is, it's not a secret because I wasn't specific. So no. You knowing me, you know I like home-cooked meals from scratch as much as possible. You telling me you would come at me like that, that'd be your answer?
Yeah.
That's trifling.
That's not trifling.
That is a trifling response, and that's wrong. You're keeping secrets.
If you did not specify, babe, I want you to throw down in this kitchen today. I want you to make me some homemade pancakes. I want some eggs. I want some sausage.
So I got to use the word homemade, right?
I'm just saying, if I did that, I was like, he ain't gonna know the difference.
So that's okay. That's my point. So if you did that, he ain't gonna know the difference. Is that a secret?
That's a secret.
Okay. Now, is that a big deal though?
Nah.
Okay. Right. So
now, if you come to find out that for all these years I've been lying to you and making it seem like I've been,
I'm at the check tape now.
I've been making it seem like I've been cooking stuff from scratch, and I've been getting everything from boxed and just putting it on a plate.
You didn't keep microwaving it.
Then that's a problem. Because you gonna sit there and lie after all this is a combination of lying by omission and secret giving.
Yeah.
So that'd be a whole nother issue.
Yeah. So I gave that example, and I'm gonna give another one and I'll take it back to you. I gave that example because to me that's really not that big of a deal. It's not a bigger secret. Now we're talking about what I'm about to tell you now is a big deal, and it's a secret. One of them. Having a secret bank account that your mate don't know about. Now, that's a different story than lying about the home-cooked meals.
Right.
I'm just using those two as examples. Because having a secret bank account, and unfortunately, a lot of people are raised to be that way. You know, you have a lot of parents that say, make sure you don't put everything together, even if you're married, which never made any sense to me to tell a child that or young adult that. What's the point? If you're married, it's supposed to be a oneness, okay? Mm-hmm. But they'll program their kids into thinking that, okay, keep it separate because you never know what he's going to do. He may be irresponsible. You know, he may not pay the bills and you guys get put out or whatever. You need to have a backup.
Yeah.
You're already coming in wrong.
Right.
You're already coming into the marriage with a secret. I've never agreed with that kind of stuff. What do you think?
No, I agree with that. You know, I've had that message told to me.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, that's not the type of marriage I would want.
That should be time.
Because I have to sit there and hide money and not let you know how much I'm making and everything like that, then what's the point? What's the point of all that?
Right.
But it shouldn't be a big deal.
So let's make it clear. So we need to, so when we're talking about having separate, accounts and all that, to be clear, this is my stance on it. Now, you can have separate accounts, but nothing needs to be in secret. Okay.
Right.
Everybody needs to know if your mate has two, three different, I don't know why you would need more than two accounts, me personally anyway, but however, you have those people that have four or five different accounts. As long as your partner know about those accounts and have access to those accounts and you guys agree this is how you're going to handle it. I'm okay with that. I have a problem with people who say, well, I have three, four different accounts, but your name is only on two of them and we're married.
I don't think that's a big deal.
To me, that's where I'm like, I think your name should be on everything because you just never know what can happen.
I get it from that standpoint.
And then people need to have access to handle some
business. I mean, I get it from that standpoint.
Because to me, it's one of those things where if you get hurt or injured, that's why I say when you're with somebody and you get hurt or injured, a lot of people don't have power of attorneys for whatever reason. Just they haven't gotten to it or they just don't have one.
Right.
Some people think, well, I'm married. I don't need one. Actually, you do in a lot of situations. You're going to still need that. But that's why I was saying I always think about the what if. You know, worst case scenario, if something is out there that I don't have access to, then I'm sitting up here looking stupid. You
know, so I absolutely agree.
I think that's why, I mean, we can agree or disagree. It's not that big of a deal.
No, I'm saying I agree.
That's why I think having a goal, and you know, you agree with your partner, you say, okay, I agree, we agree that this is what this account is used for, this is what we'll do, that's cool. But at the same time, if something happens to me, you need to be able to go in and be like, okay, I got access to that. I got access to that. Okay, I got access to that.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a trust factor there. If we have a goal, I trust that you're not going to go in there behind my back when we have a goal set.
Right.
So that's just how I look at it.
No, and I agree with that. If you're needing to be on the name of the account simply for the sole purpose of if something were to happen, I need to make sure I have access to be able to pay the bills or whatever
Absolutely.
The case may be.
That's the whole point.
That's perfectly fine. Yeah. But if
and speaking on the back end of that, you know, we're talking about accounts and money and keeping secrets from your mate. What about secret debts? Because, you know, a lot of times you meet somebody at the beginning and they have all this debt, and it could be a debt from a car that got repoed. It could be a school mm-hmm. loan. It could be something tremendous out there, right? And they never share that information.
I don't think.
And then they come into a marriage situation. They're like, okay, hold up. You ain't told me you owe the government $100,000. Is that a secret, or is that something that should be? First off, do you think that a secret? If a person doesn't disclose the information at the beginning or right along the time where they're about to get married and get serious, and you know you're about to combine everything, shouldn't that information be shared?
I definitely think that finances should be talked about when you are talking about, when you start integrating your financial situation, when you're living together and you're paying bills jointly, you definitely should talk about finances for sure. You're dating. It's
everything.
Not your, when you're dating, it's not your business what kind of debts I have. You're not paying my damn debts.
Sure.
So my debts are my debts. It is what it is.
So when you're in that realm of combining everything.
Right. Then everybody, because we need to know what
right.
needs
and that,
to come in and out.
You don't need to keep nothing secret. So if you have a school debt, a bad loan that went south back in the day, whatever it may be, that's on your credit that can affect you guys going forward, that information need to be shared.
Yeah, because we need to figure out how we can get that taken care of.
And
yeah.
You can't be ashamed because, you know, there's that shame. Oh, Lord, I don't know. They may not want to talk to me. They find out I owe $100,000 in school debt.
But I don't
or they
even
may
think...
be ashamed and say, well, why haven't you been paying on this all these years? Why now you want to try to straighten this up because you're getting married?
I feel like this, especially with school debt, that's an acceptable debt. If somebody gets upset because you have $100,000 in school debt and if they don't want to move forward the relationship, bye, kick rocks. It is what it is, a school debt.
So what if you come at them and say, you know what, I'm going to make a payment plan. Will you marry me? I'm going to make a payment plan. He said there, he's like, I'm about to propose to her, but I need to let her know I'm going to start a payment plan on the school debt. You know, okay. If I agree, start a payment plan, will you be more?
But see, that wouldn't discourage me from marrying somebody because you have school debt.
But you'd be surprised how many people would be debt. Like, you know, I'm not about to marry somebody who got all these $100,000 in debt at the beginning of the marriage.
But
you'd be surprised. People shy away from that.
Bad debt and good debt is two completely different things. It's one thing if you have like $50,000 in credit card debt versus $50,000 in school debt. Yeah.
So, but at the end of the day, you know, I think debt, any type of debt, I think need to be disclosed to your partner when you get to that point because it can become a secret. You can't just say, well, it ain't but $5,000. Not that big of a deal. Yeah, it is that big of a deal. I mean, $5,000 for the average person is a lot of money. You know, so I think something like that needs to be told, right?
Yeah. What we're talking about debts and stuff. What about child support?
That's another one.
How much money are you actually paying in child support? Are you obligated to pay in child support?
And child support is worse than IRS to me.
Yes, it is.
I mean, they have so much power, they can put your spouse in jail. Just go for men and women, because there are women out there who will back child support as well.
But I bet you they ain't in jail.
They'll put you in jail. Yeah, double standard on that.
That's a whole nother issue.
Yeah, so you just have to be open. And to me, everything has to be put on the table. I don't care how small it is. I don't care if you got a cell phone bill that's on your credit. It's been there for 10 years, which is supposed to be going to 7, right? However, it's still there and you owe $100 to Verizon. You need to let them look.
Oh, nothing.
I need to clean my credit up. Yes, you need to let your person know.
No, you've been petty.
You owe Verizon $100. Pay them because it's on your credit.
No, because sometimes you don't even think about that. I mean,
you need to keep. No, hold on now. We'll disagree. When you're coming in, when you're joining, keep in mind, you said joining incomes and joining households, credit. Y'all need to be aware of what's on each other's credit. Credit scores, all that, because remember, hold on, hear me out. The goal is when you join forces with a person, with your mate, you combining households, is to set goals.
Yes.
It could be, okay, if you already have a home, I have a home. Okay, well, which one are we going to sell? Or we can say, okay, well, we plan on buying a home in 3 to 5 years, 2 years, or start a business. So you have to know all that so you can set your plan in motion, your goals in motion. That's why I'm saying it's important. I don't care what a person's credit score is, but I'm just saying you need to be open and decide, okay, what are our goals? In this marriage, within 5 years, I want us to be homeowners, whatever the couple's goals is.
So do you think that it would be considered, would you be upset about a secret that you realize something comes up like, I overrides $100. They send a letter. And be like, well, how come you didn't tell me that shit? I forgot.
No,
that was like 10 years ago.
No, that's not that big of a deal. I was having fun with that one, but that's not a big of a deal because $100 is not going to make or break you. But when you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars that can make or break a situation, somebody can come after you behind that debt and you're married, they're going to come after them as well. You just don't want to put your
noticeable debt that you know, good and doggone well that you owe and you've been dodging.
It's
going
to take you some time to pay it off. You need to get to working on it.
Because that stuff we remember, we're not going to forget about we owe somebody thousands of dollars.
No, you ain't going to.
Like maybe like a little cell phone bill here or there or, you know, an old cable company here or there. Mm. You may forget about that, but like, thousands of dollars, you're not going to forget about that.
So I got two more before we close the show out. So the next one is, how many times, you know, a person's been married? You know,
absolutely.
Some people say, well, that's not that big of a deal. Shit. I don't look at it as a secret. I ain't got to tell the person how many times I've been married.
Nah, that should be full disclosure.
Do you feel like that's a secret?
Absolutely.
Okay, full disclosure that regardless how many times you've been married, the person you're with need to be told that.
Absolutely. You've been married 5 times and I don't know that. Like, I need to know what happened. I need to make sure all 5 of your previous spouses ain't dead somewhere.
You've been watching too much TV.
I'm serious. Okay.
And the last one is pretty serious now. This one really requires a comfort level with the person you're with. Sexual abuse. Whether it be the person experienced sexual abuse from a family member, a mate, whatever. That at some point needs to be disclosed.
Absolutely.
To the person you're planning on spending your life with. Because that can have a major effect on your relationship going forward. Right.
Absolutely. I feel as if you can't, and I'm going to be very transparent, and I'm saying this because I've gone through this, but if you don't feel as if you can share sexual abuse with your mate, that's not the person for you, because you should be able to give full disclosure. If I can't share that part of myself, then I need to reevaluate the relationship. And I'm being completely honest. I'm not saying that it's an easy conversation to have, because it's not. I know firsthand that it's not. But if you don't trust your partner enough to share that and share everything, then that relationship probably doesn't need to happen. Or maybe you may not even be in a position to where you are ready to be in a relationship yet.
Yeah.
Right. So, that to me, that's a huge secret, because like you said, it manifests in so many different areas of your life, like how you react to sex, what's appropriate for you and what's not, what makes you comfortable, uncomfortable, like your temperament, all of that. I mean, it's important. That's like a huge secret that needs to be addressed. Now, you don't need to go in like in the gate, like sharing all of that stuff, because there has to be a level of trust.
Right.
Built with that, but like when you're like in a serious relationship, you know, I love this person, we're thinking about the next phase of our life, we're moving in together, we're doing this, we're doing that, da 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 da, that conversation needs to be had.
I agree. And keep in mind that, you know, if you're one of those people, and this go for men and women, because, you know, sexual abuse happens on both sides.
Absolutely. And sometimes we forget about the men.
People who been through that, I would definitely say, first, you know, before you share or you get to that comfort level, I would definitely seek counseling, because counselors will help you share. They will teach you ways on how to share, how much to share, when you feel comfortable, and what signs to look for, whether or not the person can handle what you're about to share to them.
Yeah.
So if you can, I would definitely get the counseling way beforehand, getting to that point of sharing information to somebody, because it would be easier. But when you share your life with somebody, that's a huge thing. That's a big deal.
Absolutely.
If you've been through that, you know, that is such a big deal. It will change. That can make or break your marriage. If you're trying to get married and you know you've been through some stuff like that in your past, because what they say, what comes in must come out, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't deal with that, whether it be counseling, enough time pass, healing, forgiveness, it's a process you go through. You're not ready for nobody.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it doesn't just go away. It doesn't just say, okay, I was abused as a child. It'll dissipate when I get 25. It doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't. It always comes back.
It's always come back, and you need to have the tools through counseling how to deal with that. and to share that stuff with your mate is very, very important. So consider that.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I just think it's very important to share that in. Yeah. Even if like you're in a counseling setting too, because you're not sure you can handle sharing it with them on your own. Yeah. It gives you that safe place to navigate through that conversation, because it is a difficult conversation. There's different levels of abuse.
Exactly.
And it can be very, very difficult, but you definitely, I think it's a must that you need to share that with your partner, because they don't know how to help you or how to support you if they're not even aware of a problem. And a lot of times I think that we love to say, oh, I'm over it. That happened when I was young. I'm over it. I'll let that go. But you've never addressed it.
Right.
You haven't. You think you're over it. You want to be over it, but you have not, because it's showing up in other areas of your life. Aggression and how you maybe is, if you're a woman, is how you react to men. Lack of trust of men.
Exactly.
Lack of trust in people in general. It comes up.
Exactly.
And without counseling, I'm not saying that you can't get past it without counseling, but counseling helps.
Yeah.
I think it helps you address some of those hidden pieces of it that you don't even realize that you're reliving it or manifesting it in other areas of your life.
All right. And that wraps it up. So what about our word of the day?
Word of the day. This is a word that we've all heard ad nausea. Ad nauseum.
What the heck is that?
Nauseum. Like.
Nauseum?
Yes.
I ain't never heard that word in my
nauseum.
Life.
It, but it, that, no, you say nauseum when people overuse words.
Okay. Please read the legal definition of this word. Please.
Maybe that needs to be an Urban Dictionary. Nauseum. Anyways.
Nauseum. Go with
but it. Anyways, the word. What word that everybody's using nowadays?
Oh, so many words. There's so
that
many
you especially hate this when women use this.
I don't know. Y'all say a lot of stuff that y'all ain't supposed to be saying.
Bruh.
Please don't use that word. You are women. You're ladies. You're
but
beautiful.
But that is.
Everybody got their own idea of what the opposite sex is supposed to act like.
For sure.
Everybody. I don't care who you are. You can sit there and say, oh, I ain't like, yes, you are. You got some, it's something about you that you may not like men to wear saggy pants. Cause you, and your thing as a woman, you can say, well, if he's over 25, he need to pull his damn pants up.
Yeah. I'm
everybody got
sure.
their thing. You know, that's something for some women. Mine is, I don't care for women who talk like dudes and talk hard.
Yeah.
Like you're a dude in the street or whatever. There's nothing attractive about that. That's all. That's my whole point.
No, I get
and
that.
Saying bruh ain't with it. That's
bruh. Like, I mean, bruh is used like every other sentence, like every other word. Like you see young adults using it, teenagers using it. You see adults using it. It's like bruh, man, bruh, really, bruh.
Pray for you. I never say that because I think this will be our last podcast. What are you talking like?
I'm
going
to start calling you bruh. When you get to acting crazy, I'm be like, bruh. So, the definition per Urban Dictionary is literally the best answer to literally anything. That's bruh. So that's just a response to any and everything, bruh.
Okay, bruh.
So this is an example. You know, I love their example sometimes. So Joe, this is the guy in here. Joe, my mom died yesterday. John, bruh. Yo, my mom just won $1 million. Bruh.
You sound slow.
Well, they had added some extra H's on there, okay. So I had to drag it out. Bruh.
You sound like something wrong with you, but.
Oh, bruh.
All right. Until next time.
Bruh. If you have a question or situation you would like advice on, you can contact us at aarealtalkcolumbus@gmail.com, or you can check us out on our website at www.aarealtalkcolumbus.com. Also, be sure to look for us on Instagram or Facebook using the handle AA Real Talk Columbus. Don't forget to share with your friends. Thank you for listening to A&A Real Talk Columbus, where our goal is to bring people closer together through conversation.